been seen nearby and was involved in the rescue operations. Neither did any of the rescuers or other survivors know about Divyar's connection with UFOs. It all comes together to form one of the strangest events in UFO history. Aliens rescue stranded sailors. It sounds like science fiction, and yet, the event is extremely well verified. The whole ordeal ends on an even stranger note. About 1 week after the storm, after everybody had been rescued and all traces of the storm were gone, another private vessel was sailing through the area when they spotted a strange light hovering above the surface of the sea. They radioed to the New Zealand Air Force, who sent out a plane to the location of the mysterious light. To their surprise, they found the wreck of the Ramtha. The UFO had again pinpointed the exact location of the boat. It just so happened that the owners of the Ramtha, Bill and Robin Forbes, had lost everything they possessed when they abandoned their boat. However, because the strange green ball of light had guided rescuers to their boat again, the Forbes were reunited with the Ramtha and regained possession. Possession of their craft. It appears to have been one last gesture of goodwill on the part of the UFO. 7. In this next case, ETs didn't prevent a vehicle accident, but they provided help on the scene, rescuing the witness from what would have been a very hazardous situation. They fixed my motorcycle one evening in the early 1960s. Real estate agent Sherry Jamiso was driving her motorcycle along an isolated road through the Watchung Mountains of rural New Jersey, when she lost control of her motorcycle and crashed. It was the middle of the night and nobody was around to help her. While she was okay, her motorcycle had been damaged and the kickstarter was so bent that the engine could not be turned on. Moments after the accident occurred, Sherry was shocked to see two strange figures approach her. They were like greys, but they were not greys. The figures were tall, with large dark eyes, white skin and bald heads, but otherwise looked almost human. They wore beige-gray body suits. Says Sherry, there were two of them. They looked at me and silently picked up the motorcycle, took the kick bar and straightened it. I nodded and kicked it and off I went. Sherry reports that the ET used his hands to straighten out the crumpled metal. No words were spoken, nor messages received. Sherry felt some fear at first, but realized they were trying to help her. I wish now I could have not been so worried or disturbed, says Sherry, that I could have paid more attention. But they weren't threatening. It was very strange. 8. As we have seen, most cases of benevolent ET intervention occur only in life-threatening occasions. But for every rule, there are exceptions. We have already examined one case in which an abductee's employment was secured. In this next case, ETs again secured a person's financial well-being, though in a different way. Aliens lead man to gold late one evening in July 1939. Gold prospector Joao Lucido was camping in an isolated area near Serra do Gordo, Brazil, when he was woken up by a loud whistling sound. Lucido grabbed a lantern and a rifle and went to investigate. He found a light in the forest where he saw two tall humanoid figures almost 6 feet in height, each wearing metallic body suits. The men told Lucido to look up. When he did, he saw a large metallic disc-shaped object. Suddenly the two men grabbed him and all of them went up into the craft. Inside, Lucido was examined and told that his experience would benefit his family. The night after being released, Lucido had a strange dream during which the humanoids he had seen told him precisely where to dig for gold in the mountains. He eventually went to prospect where the humanoids had instructed. At this location, he found a rich vein of gold, which improved his family fortunes. Eleucido died in 1970, shortly after sharing his experience with Brazilian UFO researcher, Jackson Luiz Camargo. Nine-while encounters with reptilians are often described as unpleasant, as we have seen, there are cases during which reptilians have healed people. In the following case, a person was saved from certain death by a reptilian. Reptilian saves man from drowning. In January of 1977, 20-year-old Jose Alvarez was hiking in the high basin area of Amajalaye, east of Lima, Peru. He was seeking a water source when he fell into a marsh and became trapped. "In spite of my efforts," he said, "I could not get out of it and I had lost all hopes to survive when, suddenly, four small beings appeared. They were less than 1 meter tall, the body covered with green scales, and their hands had three fingers with claws. Uttering growls and gesticulating, they held branches to me that allowed me to pull myself back on firm ground. Once freed from the swamp by the strange creatures, Alvarez fainted. When he woke up, the beings were gone." 10. The above account may sound unusual, but in fact, this next case is nearly identical, only it occurred many thousands of miles away. In this case, the witness was not only healed, but as with many people who have had healings, he feels that his intelligence was increased. E.T. saves boy from drowning. A similar account is that of a young boy from outside Sidra, Puerto Rico. He lived on a 6-acre farm with his mother and siblings. At age 6, he was hunting for flowers and fell into a marsh near his home. The witness reports that he was up to his neck in mud and was sure that he was not going to make it. He lost consciousness. When he woke up, he was lying in the grass alongside the pond. A small figure wearing reflective clothing stood next to him. Shortly after the boy woke up, the figure disappeared in a flash of light. Following the incident, the boy says he was taken from his room about twice a week. He never remembered where he went, but feels that the ETs increased his IQ. His teachers were amazed at his progress, and he graduated first in his class of more than 400 students. 11. A third example of a person saved from drowning comes from a woman who's had contact most of her life. This life-saving incident occurred when she was only 4 years old, and was to be the first of many incidents of contact. E.T. saves woman from drowning. Rochelle Hart has had UFO experiences her whole life. Her husband, William Shell Hart, is featured in this book, having experienced a healing of his tendonitis and arthritis. While Rose hasn't been healed, she does recall a miraculous incident that occurred in the mid-1930s in Rothenburg, Germany. She was only 4 years old and was playing in the woods behind her home when she fell into the river. "I was playing with some children's dishes," says Rose, "and all I remember was, 'I'm drowning, I don't know which way is up or down.' Then somebody pulled me out and didn't say a word. And when I looked around to see who it was, they had disappeared. It wasn't until years later, after many UFO encounters, that Rose discovered who had rescued her. While undergoing hypnotic regression to recall a recent missing time encounter, Rose was instead brought back to the childhood incident where she had nearly drowned and learned that her rescuers were the ETs that had been visiting her throughout her life. 12. This next example of benevolent ET intervention is among the most unusual, and shows that help can come when you least expect it, from the most unexpected of sources. UFO prevents rape. One evening in August 1986, Carolyn, pseudonym, found herself in a dangerous situation. She was at the VEIP campground near Page, walking along the shore of Lake Powell, Arizona. She was alone when, without warning, a bald-headed man attacked and tried to rape her. He forcefully threw Carolyn down so that she was half in and half out of the lake. Then he climbed on top of her and pinned her to the ground. Looking up, Carolyn saw a pair of what she first thought were shooting stars. One disappeared, but the other suddenly dropped down and seemed to land at the end of the lake. Carolyn assumed at first that it must be an airplane, but then suddenly it moved toward them. At the same time, the winds began to pick up. The plane now took on the appearance of a big ball of fog. It approached closer and the wind became so strong it was lifting up small stones which struck both of them. At this point, Carolyn's attacker stood up and looked at the object. He became frightened and ran away, yelling to Carolyn, "We better get out of here." Says Carolyn, "I looked at him and the ball of fog and decided I would rather go with the ball of fog. So I started walking out into the water toward the ball of fog. Then it just vanished. The water and wind calmed down and it was quiet again. I did not know what to make of this. I have not heard of many reports like this, but it seemed like it made a special trip down from the sky just to rescue me from this man." Carolyn reported her account to UFORC in the hopes of finding more information about her experience. 13. These types of UFO rescue cases are not well known, even within the UFO community. And yet, as can be seen, many different types of rescues have occurred. Once again, we are left with the question, why are ETs saving people? What does this say about their relationship to us, and their agenda on our planet? Could it be that some aliens are altruistic? Chapter 27, Experiences and Psychic Healing. Medical healings are now a recognized symptom of an encounter with a UFO. Another lesser known symptom is that many experiencers are themselves psychic healers, often as a result of their contacts with ETs. Among the first to remark on this was Gordon Creato, who wrote the first article about the healing power of UFOs. Creato also studied psychic healing and even underwent it himself. He was impressed by the similarity of how cuts have been healed in both UFO accounts and during psychic healings. "The body is laid open paranormally," writes Creato, "as if the operator were opening the magnetic body, unzipping it, so to speak. There is almost no blood. A few passes still never touching the flesh, then he zips it up again." Creato speculates that psychic healing accounts and UFO healing accounts appear to share remarkable connections. Writes Creato, "It's an intriguing coincidence that in both Brazil and the Philippines, all of these healers began to develop their powers around 1947 and 1948 after the modern wave of sightings began. One John Mack MD has also noticed a connection between UFO encounters and the ability to perform healings." Writes Mack, "Many abductees seem to gain healing powers themselves. Although abductees may continue to resent the abduction experiences and fear their reoccurrence, at the same time many, in one way or another, come to feel that they are participating in a life-creating or life-changing process that has deep importance and value. In addition, many abductees appear to undergo profound personal growth and transformation. Each appears to come out of his or her experiences concerned about the fate of the Earth and the continuation of human and other life forms." Two. A case from Brazil is that of Vera Lucia. One night in 1956, Lucia was in her home in Valencia, Rio de Janeiro. Suddenly a man carrying a flashlight approached her home. She experienced missing time. Later, under hypnosis, she recalled seeing a man and woman with Asian features and dark olive skin float into her room. They both wore tight silver suits and carried luminous wands. They appeared to be testing Lucia's body. When they stopped, there was a flash of blue light and the figures were gone. Following the incident, Lucia learned she had the power of healing, a power which never left her. Three UFO-inspired healers are turning up across the world. On January 7, 1970, two men, Arohio and Iso Viljo, were skiing near Imjavi, Finland when they saw a bright light approach. Around 10-foot-wide, metallic object hovered about 12 feet above the ground. The object emitted a beam of light and the men saw a 3-foot-tall being wearing green coveralls and boots, and a conical helmet. Its skin was pale and it had a hooked nose. A mist descended over the area, there was a flash, sparks and a flame and the craft departed. Both men suffered negative physiological effects from the encounter, including numbness, vomiting and more. Viljo refused to discuss the experience, however. He says he obtained special abilities as a result of the encounter, and afterward, became a clairvoyant and healer until his death in the 1980s. Four case after case can be marched out. Consider Antonio Alves Ferreira of San Luis, Maranhão, Brazil, who claims to have had numerous contacts with humanoids with dark skin, Asian eyes, pointed ears, thick eyebrows, large heads and fine black hair. Beginning on January 4, 1975, Ferreira claims to have taken 11 trips to the ET's planet. He had many unusual experiences. During one visit, he was made by them to swallow a small whitish pill. Afterward, his bioelectric field became charged and sometimes when he touched metal objects, they would bend and break. During this period, he was able to effect medical cures in people. Interestingly, despite his healing abilities, Ferreira himself was unable to walk without crutches, a condition the ETs never cured. Five. Still another case is that of Joyce Bowles of Winchester, Hampshire, England. Bowles, a British rail powder room attendant, was abducted on three separate occasions in 1976 and 1977. The case follows the standard patterns of abductions, including some paranormal effects. Bowles has a history of psychic experiences and is well known in her neighborhood for her ability to cure animals. Six. As presented earlier in this book, several cases of UFO healings have occurred in Tbilisi, Russia. There are also a few cases there in which witnesses have become psychic healers. One lady became a healer after an entity entered her body, giving her the ability to see where a person's illness is manifesting, and then guiding her to administer a psychic cure. Another Tbilisi case is that of Professor Boshirishwa, a mental health doctor. While working in the hospital, the doctor was visited by aliens who assisted him in diagnosing and curing patients with mental illnesses. According to the report, the aliens also provided written formulas to cure a variety of illnesses. 7. Another person who claims to have a dual alien human identity and resultant healing powers is Francisco Ramo Jimea of Torita, Valencia in Spain. In 1978, when he was 11 years old, Jimea experienced a contact with ETs who said they were from Ganymede. Jimea claims that the contacts continued. Since then, says Jimea, I heal with the hands, and without drugs when I sleep, my body remains on Earth and I go to the planet Ganymede. They have explained to me how to cure people given me energy. While in school, Jimea reportedly exhibited an advanced knowledge of medicine and psychology. When he began to see the insides of people's bodies, he started to perform hands-on healings, treating people with blindness, paralysis, cancer and more. Jimmie says that he charges the batteries each night with the ETs, and returns to Earth by day to perform healings. I cannot even cure myself of a simple cold, Jimmie said. All the energy I have I must use for others. In 1981, New York psychic healer Jane Allison told listeners at a conference in New York City that she received her healing power as the result of a close encounter with a UFO on the roof of her Manhattan apartment building. 9. Jane Allison is not alone. No discussion of UFOs and psychic healing would be complete without mention of Adrian Deaver. Born in 1958, Deaver became a computer engineer specializing in military computer systems. In 1992, while living in Israel, he began to exhibit mediumistic abilities and soon found himself channeling apparent ETs. Deaver found himself not only in communication with ETs, he became a healer. After a number of successful healings, Deaver began to train others and open up new clinics. People visiting the clinics report a wide variety of healings, including of cancer, liver cirrhosis, back pain, headaches, diabetes, immune deficiencies, and more. In his book, Healing Entities and Aliens, Deaver describes his experiences. The healings are reminiscent of Edgar Cayce, providing diagnoses and explanations for illnesses and conditions that traditional medicine was unable to cure. The alien treatments are done in clinics, while Deaver and other mediums channel the ETs. Some patients feel odd sensations of heat, cold, tingling and itching. A few report seeing images of ETs or receiving messages. Deaver caused a media sensation across Israel and the world, and despite his sudden death in 2004, his influence is still being felt today. Dozens of alien healing clinics across the world use Deaver's model to conduct channeled cures. 10. Judy Carroll of Brisbane, Australia is making waves in the UFO community with her claims of being a human-grey alien hybrid. Carroll has had UFO experiences her entire life, including missing time abductions, which she describes in her book, Human by Day, Zeta by Night. Her early encounters were shrouded in fear and amnesia. However, starting in 1983, when she was 30 years old, she began having fully conscious experiences of being taken on board a craft. Once on board, Carroll found herself to be in grey alien form. Her job involved working in a clinic where she would assist in the healing of humans. She was trained by an alien teacher named Maris, who instructed her in meditation and healing techniques. Carroll was also healed herself. She suffered from a tightness in her throat. Maris was able to cure her, she says. I remember him massaging my neck and putting his long fingers in my mouth and down my throat, where I said I was tight. Today, Carroll works as a healer both on Earth and aboard the UFOs. Her UFO abductions occur at least once a month. She says the grey alien's single greatest agenda is the healing of humankind. 11. Southern California abductee, Linda, and her sister, Sherry, have reported multiple healings. Linda says that the aliens have taught her and her family how to perform psychic healings. Linda recalls being taken to a room inside a UFO that contained more than 60 people. There was a large crystal in the center of the room that emitted a strange type of energy. The group was told by the aliens that they were being taught. Linda felt a strange electricity flowing through her body and out her hands. I'm being told I can learn to heal myself, Linda says. It's okay to use this power. 12 Bud Hopkins has also run across these types of cases. Michael Bashad, whose account appeared in Hopkins' book, Missing Time, under the pseudonym Steve Gilber, reports that his back was physically opened by the ETs, who then proceeded to activate certain nerves as if they were testing his nervous system. Afterward, they closed up his back, leaving no scars. Ever since the abduction, Bashad has suffered from unexplained back pain. He does not feel that the ETs were friendly, and after subsequent abductions, he began to explore various techniques to keep the ETs away. In 1993, Bashad spoke at the Los Angeles, California chapter of MUFO. One attendee asked if there were any positive effects caused by his experiences with the ETs. Bashad said that as a result of his abductions, he has become a psychic healer. He was able to provide examples of this ability, stating that he was able to cure two ladies of cancer. The cures were performed over the phone. 13 Another case of someone who became a healer as a result of a UFO abduction is Mr. Ko, of Beijing. One December evening, Ko experienced an abduction. Afterward, he healed a Chinese girl from Qihuadao, Hebei province, using alien energy. Zhang Jigpig, the director of the Department of the World Chinese UFO Association, investigated Ko's claims in 2000. He had Ko placed under regressive hypnosis, and also gave him a lie detector test, which he passed. Using the information retrieved, Jigpig was able to locate the girl who had been healed. He called the case the most reliable of all the cases he investigated. 14 John Mack, MD, writes that a number of his clients have exhibited healing abilities as a result of their alien encounters. Scott of Massachusetts is one of several examples. Writes Mack, Scott himself, in addition to his increasing curiosity about the spiritual dimensions of the phenomenon, has begun to meet with an acupuncturist, and more recently, with a shamanic healer. He is also increasingly challenging the traditional model. Scott himself says of some therapists, "I feel I could heal, I could help them more than they could help me." 15 Another of Mac's clients, Paul of New Hampshire, has experienced many UFO encounters and has become increasingly interested in alternative healing methods. Paul says he was given volumes of ideas concerning healing technologies. He has also become a healer himself. Writes Mac, those who know him outside of the therapeutic setting, such as Pam, Julia and other abductees, all testify to his extraordinary intuitive and healing abilities. 16. UFO researcher Don Woolley investigated the encounters of a woman named Anne. Anne was told by her contacts to move to Colorado to be safe from upcoming earth changes. Anne reports the ability to talk to spirits and give psychic readings, and she says that her bioelectric field constantly affects machines. Anne also possesses wonderful healing powers, writes Don Woolley. Her ability to do this came about accidentally when her husband stepped on a nail and drove it all the way through his foot. By using visualization and without ever touching his foot, she used her mind to get his foot very hot and tingly at the wound, and she was able to stop the pain. The next day the hole in his foot healed and was even gone. Regarding her ability to heal, Anne says, "I have never practiced Reiki, nor have I ever attempted to learn how. I just knew how. I can run my hands over someone and feel the pain as well as visualize it. I am very adept at sending away pain, sickness, injury and even depression. I have done remote healing the last several years with some success." At first, Anne found herself exhausted and ill after performing a healing. She eventually learned to release the negative energies and draw new energies from the atmosphere around her. I bet the whole process looks crazy or silly, she says, but it does work. 17. There is no shortage of cases like this. In 1994, Southern California abductee Kim Carlsberg appeared with several abductees on the short-lived television program, The Other Side. Carlsberg, who has experienced several terrifying abductions, spoke for herself as well as the entire panel when she said that many of the experiences she knew, including herself, have done psychic healings. As he said, all of us on this panel are hands-on healers. Researcher Barbara Lam reports that abductees are often trained in various healing techniques. Many of her clients have come away from their experiences with the belief that they have the ability to heal themselves and others. Writes Lam, there is a woman I've been working with, and she is doing Reiki healing. She's been doing that for 3 or 4 years now and is very serious about that and really does effectively run energy. And some of her experiences with extraterrestrials involve her being taught healings, and with all that being very enhanced. And her son, who is now about 6 years old starting at age 3, was talking about going on these trips with his space friends at night and riding around in the craft, and the things that they'd have him drink, and the strange baths that they'd have him get into, and all this stuff he'd never heard anywhere before. She knew he hadn't encountered anything like that in the media or anybody that knew anything. And he and his little cousin, a little girl who is 2 years younger than he is, have been trained by the extraterrestrials in doing physical healing. And there was one time when the mother, my client, was preparing lunch for him and his little cousin who was visiting for the day. And she cut her hand very badly with a paring knife. And it was bleeding, hurting and stinging. And it looked like she might have to take herself to the emergency room. She was, of course, concerned. And these two kids hopped off their lunch counter stools there in the kitchen and said, "Oh, we'll heal it. We'll do our space Reiki on you." And so they went into these movement which she said looked very akin to Tai Chi type of movements. Maybe they were Qigong movements for all we know. But anyway, they just healed this cut. She said within a half a minute, the pain really reduced and the blood stopped and it started to congeal and heal up. And I saw her probably about 3 days later, and it was just barely a little line on her hand that I could see had been this big, open, bleeding cut. She could feel the heat coming toward her from them. Another woman that I work with does body work, massage work. And she's only done that for a few years too. She used to work for a corporation and do stuff that was really different. And in some of our regressions we realized that she is learning a lot of energy healing work from the extraterrestrials when she's on board the craft. She still does some of the energy work with them, learning a lot about human energy fields. Erica is one of Lam's clients. Writes Lam, because of her encounters with extraterrestrials, Erica has developed an increasing amount of psychic ability and healing powers, which she uses frequently in her life. Another of Lam's clients, Marcia, had repeated contacts with a grey-type ET who gave her very specific training with healing. This particular being, Lam writes, seemed to be very concerned about the Earth children who suffered from autism, and she trained Marcia how to treat them. Marcia credited her contacts with this particular being for inspiring the dedication she developed to the care of autistic children. She avidly pursued reading books about the subject, and she spent time volunteering at a center for autistic children. With great success, she promoted the unusual methods of treatment that she had learned from her ET encounters. Another of Lam's clients, Simon, has been having contacts with gentle mantis-type beings most of his life. He has also received training in healing. Writes Lam, they communicated to Simon that they had been aware of him for a long time, and they were training him in healing skills in order that he might assist huge groups of humans in the future after large-scale disasters would occur on the Earth. Yet another of Lam's clients, Catherine, also reports being trained in energetic healing techniques. In one regression, writes Lam, Catherine described finding herself in a small, round craft, standing at a table similar to a massage table and surrounded by several Zeta beings. They were performing some kind of healing work on an abducted human male who was lying unconscious on the table. Catherine recalled them meticulously instructing her on techniques for working on the energy system of the man, as well as techniques for healers to intermingle their own energy and surrounding energy in the atmosphere with the energy of the man in need of healing. Although prior to her regressions, Catherine had been unaware of the training she had received from the Zetas, in her waking life she had been actively involved in learning some methods of energy healing. Eventually Catherine left her corporate management job and established a successful practice in energy healing work. A final example from Lam's research is the case of Sarah, who was given the ability to heal by an apparent reptilian being. She was taken onto a craft and told to sit in what looked like a barber's chair. Writes Lam, a male being, standing behind her, pressed her temples with his hands. This action radiated an energy or vibration into her head that became increasingly uncomfortable. He conveyed to her that he was transmitting energy to her that she would be able to use in her healing work on Earth. She had already been doing healing work for a few years and was very interested in learning new methods. He also told her that her ability to receive telepathic messages and to do channeling would increase. 18 In my own research, I often hear similar stories. Pat Brown, whose story appeared in my book, Extraterrestrial Visitations, is a good example. After experiencing a series of terrifying encounters with greys, she overcame her fear. And her encounters became profoundly spiritual. She quit her job as a telephone operator and became a healing massage therapist. She says that sometimes while doing healing work, she sees blue light come from her hands, and in her mind's eye, she can see images of grey ETs working with her to help channel the energy. 19 Another case is Alicia Hansen, whose two healing accounts, car accident and cyst, appear in this book. In 1995, Hansen cured someone of a fractured toe using the technique of laying on of hands. The patient and doctor were both suitably impressed. I later had the opportunity to receive an energy healing from her. With my permission, she placed her hands on the soles of my feet and closed her eyes. Strong pulses of energy flowed instantly up my legs. It was a unique and new sensation to me, unmistakable, and somewhat similar to a light electrical shock. She did this for a few moments and then stopped, asking me if I could feel it. I sure could. On another occasion, I went to a healing session with Matty, whose account of an eczema healing also appears in this book. No sooner did she begin doing energy work over my body when I saw pastel flashes of color around her hands, followed by an incredible sense of relaxation and calm. Many other cases could easily be listed. There are enough accounts like the above to fill an entire book. One more case should suffice. Virginia Arroso, whose book Celestial Healings recounts many cases, also had the opportunity to experience a healing from an experiencer who channels ET. Diagnosed with cancer and facing a daunting series of medical treatments, Arozzo began to investigate alternative avenues of healing. She found David Miller, an Arizona-based healer, and scheduled a session. Feeling like it had a profoundly positive effect, Arozzo cancelled her upcoming surgery to remove her cancerous thyroid. Years later, she's happy and healthy, a fact she attributes at least in part to her UFO healing. 20. The pattern is clear. In many cases, experiencers come away from their encounters with the ability to heal. It has been reported consistently and often enough to be a predictable effect. Still, there is more research to be done. Why are aliens teaching people to heal? How effective are these cures? According to a study by Thomas Bullard of 270 abduction cases, the single most common experience is being physically examined. Second to that, however, is being given messages. This is a pattern I have also seen in my own research. The messages usually fall into three main categories. One is being given warnings of upcoming disasters or earth changes. Secondly, there are messages given about alternative energy sources. Third, and most important here, are messages about spirituality and alternative healing. While it's easy to speculate about UFOs, facts are facts, and actions speak louder than words. The ET's interest in the health of the human body cannot be denied. Also, it is evident that ETs are interested in teaching people to heal themselves. Hopefully, cases like these will become the focus of future research so that we can benefit from this knowledge in a more practical way. Chapter 28, Other Miraculous Healings. Before we can begin to understand and analyze UFO healing cases, it's necessary to understand other forms of miraculous cures. Not all cures are coming from ETs. Miraculous cures have been reported from many sources other than UFOs. People have reported cures from shamans and medicine men and medicine women of indigenous cultures. Other cures have been made by religious figures, angels, or at sacred/holy sites. There are countless numbers of accounts involving psychic healers. Near-death experiencers and astral travelers also report cures. Seemingly miraculous cures have also been reported as a result of past life regression therapy. There are incredible natural cures resulting from lightning strikes. As can be seen, healing comes from a wide variety of sources. By examining these different types of healings, we can arrive at a better understanding of how miraculous healings occur, and their relationship to UFO healings. Native American healings. Cures by Native Americans have been well documented. Some of these include healings performed by world-famous medicine man, Rolling Thunder, a spiritual leader and official spokesman for the Shoshone and Cherokee tribes. He has gained a reputation for performing cures of a wide variety of diseases and injuries. One well-documented example occurred in April 1971 at the Menninger Foundation in Council Grove, Kansas. Rolling Thunder was there to give a speech when a young man became gravely injured. His leg had been gashed and the wound became badly infected. Medical doctors who were at the scene recommended that the man be rushed immediately to the hospital. Rolling Thunder volunteered to perform a healing ritual. The man was unable to walk and was in considerable pain. Rolling Thunder began the ritual by lighting his peace pipe and handing it to the patient. A piece of raw meat was placed in a basin to capture the negative energies associated with the injury. After counseling the patient and determining that the healing was justified, he began a wailing chant and then sucked at the wound. He turned and vomited into the basin. This procedure was repeated, after which Rolling Thunder placed his hands over the wound and made repeated passes with a sacred feather. Afterward, the doctors rushed forward to examine the wound. To their shock, the color of the flesh was normal, the swelling had decreased, and the injured man said that he no longer felt any pain. The infection was gone. Minutes later, the man was back on his feet, playing ping pong. Rolling Thunder has performed healings regularly for many years. Some other well-documented cases include the partial healing of a polio-related condition, and another of tumorous growths in the throat of a singer. One another well-known shaman healer was the Apache scout, Stalking Wolf, the teacher of Tom Brown Jr., who runs the largest wilderness school in the United States. Says Brown, "Grandfather was a tremendous healer. He had tremendous command of the uses of the plant people, using herbs to cure illnesses that doctors and modern medicine had given up on. His ability to help cure people overcome all illnesses bordered on the miraculous." Brown describes one event involving a lady stricken with cancer. It had metastasized throughout her body. She was in a coma and expected to die within hours when she met with Stalking Wolf. Tom Brown Jr. watched the healing as it took place. "I saw Grandfather's body begin to vibrate slightly, almost imperceptibly. In the dim room, I could see his hands, as if they glowed, and I had to shake my head to make sure I wasn't seeing things. At that moment, like a dull flash, the old woman's body glowed also, as if illuminated from within, then her body fell back into the original shadow. Immediately the color returned to the lady's face and she awoke from her coma." Stalking Wolf told the amazed onlookers, "She will walk within the hour but have no recollection of what has taken place. She will be restored to her full health within 7 suns. How had the cure taken place? Brown asked. Stalking Wolf told him that it was the life force and the spirit which moves through all things. They visited the woman a few days later and found her in perfect health. All traces of illness and coma were gone, says Brown. To another well-known shaman healer was Evelyn Eaton, who was taught by a Paiute medicine man. One dramatic healing involved her neighbor's cat who had been hit by a car. The cat's back was broken and the cat was totally paralyzed. The vet had been called to put the animal to sleep. Eaton wasn't aware that the cat was injured when she passed her hand softly over the cat's back and squeezed its tail. The cat jumped up, perfectly healed. The owner was amazed. Since then, Eaton became a well-known psychic healer until her death in March 1983. Another common source of healings comes from religious figures of all kinds. Angels, saints, religious shrines, holy springs all have produced healings. Healings from religious figures, angels and sacred sites. Miraculous healings come from a wide variety of sources. J.Z. Knight, who channels Ramtha, believes she was cured of cancer while in church. The minister was praying for her recovery when there was a sudden flash of blue light from the top of the tent. The flash became an electrical flash, almost like lightning and just as bright. The blue lightning streak went vertically down, straight through my body. Afterward, Knight was diagnosed as free of cancer. She later performed miraculous cures on her own children. Four. Consider the healings which have taken place at a spring in Lourdes, France. In 1858, a young girl named Bernadette experienced a vision of the Virgin Mary near her home in Lourdes. In the years that followed, the area was visited by thousands of people seeking a healing from the spring which appeared there. UFO researcher, J. Jax Valley noticed the many parallels between religious visitations and UFO events, and made a study of the healings which have occurred at Lourdes. One involves a man cured of a severe leg injury after drinking the water from the Lourdes spring. Another was allegedly cured of blindness. Valley notes that the healings are not limited to illnesses that could be considered psychosomatic, but extend to such improbable cures as tumors and broken bones. One such Lourdes healing occurred in 1875 to Pierre de Rudder of Belgium. Rudder suffered a compound fracture to his leg, which became infected. Doctors recommended amputation. Rudder refused and begged to go to Lourdes. Before being taken there, Drive Van Hoestberg examined Rudder's leg and said, there was no sign of healing. The lower part of the leg could be moved in all directions. The heel could be lifted in such a way as to fold the leg in the middle. It could be twisted with the heel in front and the toes in back, all these movements being restricted only by the soft tissues. At the Lourdes spring, Rudder was overcome by a strange feeling. His leg was suddenly healed. His wife promptly fainted and Rudder was rushed to a nearby home to be examined. Not only was the wound closed, but the leg had become completely normal again. Rudder's doctor examined his leg, broke into tears and said, you are completely cured, D. Rudder. Your leg is like that of a newborn baby. D. Rudder became a near celebrity and continued to enjoy excellent health until his death by pneumonia in May 1898. Another similar event is the miracle of Fatima, which occurred in Portugal in 1917. One of the most widely viewed miracles in history, thousands of people witnessed a bright light, described by some as metallic, hovering overhead. It began when three children were given messages from the Virgin Mary, who told them that there would be a display on a certain date. This prediction attracted thousands of witnesses, all of whom saw a glowing disc moving through the clouds. Some people also reported miraculous healings. One witness said, my mother, who had a large tumor in one of her eyes for many years, was cured. The doctors who had attended her said they could not explain such a cure. Six modern cases of religious healings continue to occur. In 1987, 60 years following his death, Italian physician, Drive Giuseppe Mascati, B1881 to D1927, was granted sainthood by Pope John Paul II. One of the reasons was because Drive Mascati was appearing as an apparition and curing terminally ill people of their conditions. A blacksmith dying of leukemia said Drive Mascati appeared to him and said, you are well. The blacksmith went immediately to his doctor to discover that his leukemia was gone. In a second case, a man with Addison's disease was sent home by his physicians to die. The man prayed to a portrait of Drive Mascati and had a dream that the man was operating on him. The next morning, he went back to the hospital where his doctors confirmed that he was cured. In a third case, a young man was dying of meningitis. His mother prayed at Mascati's tomb in Italy. When she returned to the hospital, her son had miraculously recovered. In all three of these cases, the cures were verified by doctors who testified before the Vatican Commission on the Coesatio of Saints. 7. Many other examples could be listed. Jesus himself reportedly performed countless healings of a wide variety of conditions, including blindness, lameness, leprosy, and more. Of course, healings are not limited to religious figures. Cases of so-called angelic healings are not hard to find. After fracturing her spine, Lee Kirk was facing a long, difficult path to recovery. Instead, she experienced an instantaneous cure after being struck by beams of light from what she perceived to be God. Her self-published book, I Was Healed by the Light, presents her experience in detail. Or take the case of Ralph Walker, an avid tennis player who was diagnosed with a malignancy in his right arm. Doctors recommended an immediate operation and told him to give up any expectations of playing tennis in the future. Walker's mother prayed for a healing. The night before the operation, Walker was awoken by a man wearing a white scrub suit with a stethoscope around his neck, carrying blood pressure equipment. Walker assumed the man was a normal doctor. The man told Walker that he would be all right and would be able to play tennis again. He stared into Walker's eyes and Walker found himself overcome with a feeling of warmth that seemed to permeate both arms and legs and then his whole body. The next morning, he mentioned the visit to his doctors, thinking they had arranged it. His doctors denied any visitation and said it must have been a dream. Walker denied this and said the man was like any doctor, dressed in white. I sure didn't dream him. At the hospital, more X-rays were taken, showing that the cancer was gone. His doctor told him, I have to say that nothing like this has ever happened in my 23 years of practice. I mean, Mr. Walker, that these new X-rays show absolutely no trace of any cancer, there is no need for an operation. Ralph now believes he was visited by an angel. Could it have been an alien? Eight angels or aliens is not a question easily answered. Consider this case. On January the 30th, 1985, Steve, a security guard from Liverpool, England, saw seven glowing figures hovering over Brownlow Hill. He flashed his light, and they swooped toward him. Afraid at first, he saw they were beautiful glowing angels and he tearfully thanked them for saving his mother from an ordeal which occurred 1 month earlier. Following this incident, a second incident occurred in which a woman crashed her car along the highway nearby. Immediately following the accident, the woman was trapped in the wreckage, then she passed out. Unknown to her, outside witnesses saw glowing figures approach and remove her from the vehicle. The paramedics in the ambulance found the woman 30 yards from her vehicle. The woman had no memory of the glowing figures, but said that as she recovered in the hospital, two women approached her and said that they had saved her so that she could continue her good work. The woman joined a church group and devoted her life to charity work. 9-1 pattern that becomes clear with miraculous healings is that they seem to come from interdimensional sources, from saints, angelic figures and other denizens of the so-called heavenly realms. Even the Native American healings talk of the spirit which moves through all things. Another source of healing are near-death and out-of-body experiences, again showing that physical healing seems to come from non-physical sources. Healings by NDEs and OBEs. Kenneth Ring's book, The Omega Project, studies the similarities between near-death experiences and UFO encounters. One of his cases involves what appears to be a miraculous healing. In 1977, daycare center operator Beryl Hedricks of New York State discovered a tumor in her breast. Doctors promptly removed it. To Hedricks' relief, the tumor was benign. 1 year later, Hedricks was shocked to discover another tumor the size of a golf ball in her breast. She resolved to call her doctor the next day. She went downstairs, joined her husband on the couch and fell unconscious. Her husband was unable to feel a pulse. Meanwhile, Hedricks found herself apparently out of her body, aboard what seemed to be a spacecraft. The next thing I remember, Hedricks says, I was looking out of a round window and seeing the blackest blackness with tiny white sparkles. She turned around and suddenly realized she had been placed on some kind of operating table, which was surrounded by several tall thin figures. A bright light was shining down upon her. The figures spoke telepathically, "Look and see, it is gone." The ETs told Hedrix to follow her husband, evidently because of recent marital difficulties. Hedrix then found herself racing back to her body, which lay unmoving on the couch. She woke up and began vomiting. 2 hours had passed. Almost immediately, Hedrix made the astonishing discovery that the lump was gone totally. Was Hedrix healed as the result of a near-death experience or a UFO? When you read it, says Kenneth Ring, please decide into which of our two categories it should be placed. Then an equally astonishing case was published in Beyond UFOs, edited by Rhea Hernandez. In 1980, a motorcycle driver had a bad accident, injuring his body very badly. He felt himself pulled from his body by a magnetic force into a tunnel of white light. A wise old man appeared and told him if he went through the tunnel, he could not return, and if he returned, his body was so damaged, medical technology could not fix it. The old man told the motorcycle driver that if he agreed to work for the betterment of humanity, they would heal him. The driver agreed. When he regained consciousness, he was in a hospital bed. His only injury was now a badly broken leg. Leading NDE researcher, Drive Melvin Morse MD, has documented several cases of NDE healings. After being diagnosed with cancer of the thyroid gland, Kathy underwent treatment. The treatment failed to halt the spread of the cancer, and her doctors told her that her case was terminal. She developed pneumonia and was admitted to the hospital, where her condition worsened. She had a cardiac arrest and a near-death experience. She went out of her body and met a being of light who filled her with light and told her to return. Upon awakening, she began an immediate recovery from pneumonia. A few weeks later, all traces of her cancer were gone, writes Morse. I find it hard to believe that the NDE did not have a direct influence on the cancer. Morse presents the case of Loretta, who as a child suffered from a case of scarlet fever. Her condition worsened and her doctor and family feared for her survival. Loretta had an NDE and found herself flying out of her body, through a tunnel, and into a wise, loving light. She returned to her body, and to everyone's amazement, began a speedy recovery. Loretta was convinced that the NDE led to her rapid healing. Then there is the case of Janet, who had a cancerous lesion on her nose. 2 days before her surgery, Janet was woken from sleep to see a large sphere of light floating about 5 feet in front of me. The sphere spoke, saying, "You aren't afraid, are you?" Janet became filled with peace. Suddenly the light darted inside her, filling her with a powerful feeling of unconditional love and a huge burst of white light. After the experience, Janet's cancer disappeared. 11 Many other cases could be listed. I interviewed a lady who was in the hospital suffering from uterine cancer. She had a powerful near-death experience involving a journey through a tunnel of light and a trip to a heavenly realm. Upon her return, all traces of her cancer were gone. Advanced out-of-body travelers report a wide variety of healings, some of chronic or allegedly incurable conditions. There are a surprisingly large number of cases of out-of-body healings on record. Albert Taylor, an engineer by profession, became interested in OBEs after reading Shirley MacLaine's book, Out on a Limb. After trying the exercises, he found himself to be pretty good at it. This was especially fortunate when he was diagnosed with a major illness. Writes Taylor, in early 1992, I was diagnosed with the debilitating disease of multiple sclerosis, better known as MS. After suffering two devastating attacks, I was hospitalized with severe vision and equilibrium problems. My diagnosis was not good. My doctor explained that my physical health would probably degrade over the next few years. Shortly after receiving this less than welcome news, I began to have consciously controlled OBEs. I knew at that time that I had very little to lose by trying this method of healing. Well, to make a long story short, be it coincidence or not, I can gratefully state that I have absolutely no outward symptoms or physical manifestations of this otherwise crippling disease. 12. Some astral travelers have been cured of relatively minor conditions. Terrell Wilson worked alternately as a construction worker and a Mississippi riverboat crewman. In his mid-30s, he began meditating and having OBEs. About 1 year after his first OBE, he became ill with the flu. As he says, I woke up in the middle of the night with a fever and a very sore throat. As he lay there, Wilson recalled that other astral projectors had been able to heal themselves of illness by simply going out of body. Little did he know, he was about to experience the awesome healing power of OBEs. Writes Wilson, curiously wondering if something like this could happen to me, I mustered all the willpower within me to try to leave my body. I began thinking of myself as a bodiless unit of awareness moving further and further out the top of my head into blackness, trying to let go of all mental ties to the physical body and physical world. Being sick made it especially difficult to hold this thought pattern, and to keep from forgetting, I had to mentally remind myself over and over what I was trying to do. Finally, maybe 45 minutes or an hour later, I drifted into sleep. I was able to leave my body three times that night, for short intervals that I spent in an Earth-like world with several other people present. I made the acquaintance and talked for a while on two occasions with a fellow who was about my age, but twice I lost control and returned to my body instantly. Each time I returned, unable to tell how sick my physical body was or whether any miraculous healing had taken place, I exited again to the inner world. One time a very noticeable tingling sensation at a spot about 2 inches from the center of my head caught my attention, and I contemplated on it for a while. Wilson continued to go out of his body a third time. When he returned to his body, he discovered that he had been healed. Lo and behold, my fever, nausea, sore throat and head congestion, even my tiredness, were completely gone. Upon waking the next morning, the only trace of sickness in me was a slight sniffle. Similar soul travel healings have happened to me a number of times since then, but at the time I looked upon this unexplained healing as something of a miracle. Another time, Wilson was healed of an eye infection. A contact lens problem had caused a slight infection in one of my eyes, and it was sore that night at bedtime. I fell asleep and became conscious of being out of my body in an inner lifelike world. I consciously moved out of my body a second time later that night, and upon awaking to go to work I noticed that my sore eye was completely healed. Such infections usually required at least a couple of days to heal, but this one was cleared up overnight. Out-of-body healings seem to be affected by powerful currents of astral energies. Writes Wilson, one night I was feeling somewhat sick, I woke to find a current of energy flowing through my physical body, funneling into the top of my head and exiting out my feet. It felt something like electricity, and the increasing intensity of this current woke me up mentally, although my physical body remained asleep. It rushed through me like a powerful flood of water, seemingly cleansing my physical body. As this was happening, I knew instinctively that this current flowing through me had a potential strength far beyond what I was now receiving, far beyond anything I could even imagine. As the seconds passed, this energy current flowing through me slowly began to subside, and within 5 seconds or so had faded away altogether. I went back to sleep feeling much better physically. And upon awaking an hour or so later for work, my earlier signs of sickness were completely gone. 13 Paul Twitchell is probably best known for heading the school of Ekika, a spiritually based philosophy which promotes out-of-body travel. Twitchell learned how to travel out-of-body from his father and sister. Says Twitchell, "It was these elementary lessons that saved my life when I was 5 years old." At age 5, Twitchell had a cold which developed into a severe case of pleurisy. When Twitchell's condition steadily worsened, his sister KD recalled that their father said that healings could be performed from the astral state. She assumed a lotus position and after meditating deeply was able to leave her body. She then went over to her sick brother Paul and pulled his astral body out of his physical body. At first, Twitchell thought he had died. His sister, however, explained that he was having an out-of-body experience and to think of good health, of recovery, of goodness and strength. Says Twitchell, "The next thing I remember is that I was awakening to find the family and our doctor standing by my bedside. The doc was saying something about a miraculous recovery." 14 Robert Bruce began projecting at around age 4 and is today a leading researcher and out-of-body explorer. In the late 1980s, Bruce noticed an unexplained pain in his hip which he believed was linked to a psychic attack. When his condition worsened, Bruce sought help out-of-body. He traveled into the astral realms where he contacted an advanced spirit guide. Says Bruce, 20 or so feet in front of me sat a being, in appearance a small, thin old priest well into his 80s. He was wearing a full-length white cotton robe with a plain rope belt tied at the waist. Bruce approached the man and they began to discuss Bruce's problems. Writes Bruce, "At one point, as the priest began talking about my right hip, he moved his hands and beckoned me toward him. I felt myself gripped in a powerful force. I was rolled onto my side and drawn to lie horizontally in front of the priest, facing him, floating just off the floor, suddenly finding myself naked. The priest moved his small hands over my body and finally laid them on my hip. My hip joint moved and felt like it was being turned inside out. This did not hurt but felt rather uncomfortable. The priest moved his hands slowly back and forth and a murky dark roughly shoebox-shaped object, shot through with dull reddish and orange lumps and grisly black lines floated out of my hip. He pulled this away from my skin slightly and showed me angry red and black cords extending sticky strings into my hip, groin and upper thigh. The priest explained that the cause of the condition was actually a curse. He laid his hands over the area and a brilliant white light then spouted from his hands and bored deep inside me, all around and through the strange thing on my hip. I felt nerves twanging and pricking and then a tickling, almost erotic feeling flooded through my groin as the thing brightened suddenly and then faded. It changed visibly, filling with sparkling white motes of light, then dissolved back in my body." Bruce reports that the procedure greatly improved his health. As he says, "It felt like a great weight had been lifted off me and my hip felt tender and a little numb. I awoke the next morning greatly refreshed, with no cramps or pain at all and my hip felt a whole lot better." 15 Marilee, who's began having out-of-body experiences following the birth of her first child. She soon discovered that she had very strong natural abilities for extensive astral travel. After several years, Hughes had many very advanced experiences, including out-of-body healings. After being diagnosed with an ovarian cyst, Hughes turned to astral travel to remedy the situation. After exiting her body, she found herself taken to a healing dimension. Writes Hughes, "My being lay in mid-air as six entities, some of whom were my guides, stood around me, three on each side. Observing the colors and vibrational patterns of my being, they determined what medical problems I was experiencing and the reasons for the manifestation of an ovarian cyst. My husband wanted another child and we were trying to have one, but deep down inside, I was not ready for another child. Perhaps I would never be ready for another one." The entities raised their hands as beams of white light shone down from them, healing my auric disturbance causing the cyst. Immense warmth was felt as the healing ensued. When they were finished, one of my guides explained that my other problem, which was later diagnosed as asthma, could not be healed yet, as I did not understand the reason for the manifestation. Some soul searching would be in order. I returned to my body, and as expected, my cyst had disappeared. On a later occasion, Hughes was able to take steps to cure her asthma condition. Writes Hughes, "Entering into the vibratory state, I left my body. Suddenly seeing from another vantage point, my etheric body was displayed before my eyes. An obvious energy disturbance could be seen in my chest area, a discoloratio. Resembling thermal photography, my consciousness was displayed as a white light with a red color emanating from the area of disease. Realizing the need to deal with my lung condition more thoroughly, I worked on refining the energy. As I brought my energy pattern back to balance, I knew I would need to work on understanding my disease, and the creation of it. Probably the most amazing of whose healing experiences occurred after she broke her finger in a car door." Writes Hughes, "When I opened the door, my finger came out bent to the right and then to the left, obviously broken in two places. It was numb and I could not move it. Calming myself, I put my hand over the finger and I began to ask the spiritual guides to help me. For 5 minutes I sat, and I felt a warmth going over my hand. When I looked again, the finger was completely straight. I could move it, but the pain was minimal. All that remained was a little bit of swelling." That evening, Hughes had an OBE during which further healing occurred. "I was taken to a healing zone. In a blue-green room resembling a doctor's office, I lay down waiting for assistance. A spirit came in and without a word laid two bluish-green glimmering stones on my finger and left the room. When I returned to my body, the swelling was completely gone, and all that remained was a tiny scab where the skin had broken. Miracles can happen." 16 Rosalind M.C. Knight is the mother of 8 children, a teacher, a social worker and a prominent paranormal researcher. She was one of the original out-of-body explorers working closely with Robert Monroe, a leader of the out-of-body movement. While working at the Monroe Institute, TMI, she had thousands of OBEs. One day in the early 1980s, MC Knight suffered a severe attack of bleeding hemorrhoids. When she arrived at TMI to perform OBE research, she was given an OBE healing. MC Knight narrates what happened during her session. "They are trying to help me. I feel there is someone there, but all I see are two discs and a light. I was put on one of the discs and I began spinning around. I'm still lying on the disc. The light is shining over my body, and is getting brighter. I think the light is coming from the other disc, which is up over me. It's as if I am between two energy discs. MC Knight was astonished by the astral technology used to heal her. As she says, the invisibles then started to work with heat and color. They sent colors through me from my head to my toes, as if I were a tube. Then they concentrated on the dark areas of my body, where the pain was, beaming in purple energy. The purple changed to blue, with an occasional flash of red. Finally, they put me back into the purple light and spun me on the disc again. Afterward, MC Knight was instructed to return for a further healing. On the next occasion, she was again placed on the spinning disc. Writes MC Knight, a light beam centered down on the dark area of my body that needed the healing. Some sort of energy rods were then inserted across my abdomen one by one. After that, they worked with the violet and blue energies again. Another beam came from the back of me, through my spine and up through the rods. The invisible helpers told MC Knight that they would continue to send her healing energies throughout the next week to clean out the dark areas of her physical and emotional bodies. MC Knight reports that the healing was highly effective. After this second session, I felt wonderful. And the next day the hemorrhoids were completely gone. On several occasions, MC Knight was given lessons on energy and breathing to help remove blockages that cause disease. She was also given information to help others. Writes MC Knight, they also focused on Bob's health problems and questions on a number of occasions. Bob would think a question, and my helpers would often answer it without knowing he had a question, or what it was. And they offered Bob much health advice when he openly asked for it. On one occasion they did a diagnosis and a healing for my mother living in Dayton, Ohio. MC Knight describes the above healing. My invisible friends are checking on my mother now and doing a diagnosis. They say there is something wrong with the gallbladder, and there is also some kind of poison in her kidneys. They are beaming energy rays into her. Now I'm going to try to do some healing on her myself. I am stepping into her energy body. I want to feel and experience the problem. I can feel the energy beams that are being directed into her body. 17. Bruce Moen has written a half dozen books that detail his many highly advanced travels to distant areas of the astral planes. Moen, an engineer by profession, began having out-of-body experiences as a young man. In 1991, he attended the Monroe Institute Lifeline program and became a highly proficient astral traveler. Moen spends much of his astral time doing various types of social work, often rescuing lost souls who do not know they have died. He has also had some remarkable healing experiences. In the mid-1980s, Moen began to feel pain in his abdominal area. It steadily worsened, until he was forced to seek medical attention. He was given a long series of medical tests, and numerous doctors were unable to diagnose his condition. Finally, he was given exploratory abdominal surgery to locate the problem. Then came the grim diagnosis, sarcoidosis of the liver, gallbladder and lymph system. Affecting only one person out of 900,000, sarcoidosis has no known cause and no known cure. It manifests as an uncontrolled inflammation of the liver. 80% of patients recover in 2 years. The remaining 20% are chronic or degenerative. Most in this category die from the disease. Unfortunately, Moen found himself in this latter category, and after 5 years of suffering, his condition was getting steadily worse. Then in 1991, he attended the Monroe Institute and began having regular controlled OBEs. Many of his forays involved exploring his past lives. Like other projectors, Moen discovered that his current illness was actually connected to a past life. While out of body, Moen discovered a past life involving a young soldier named Joshua. During a battle, Joshua was pierced in the abdomen by a large spear. He died slowly and in intense pain. When Moen encountered him while out of body, Joshua was still under the impression that he was alive, and had been writhing in pain ever since he died several hundred years ago. Moen took Joshua off the lower astral plane and transported him to a higher level where he could be treated and healed by spirit guides. This simple act of uncovering the trauma of his past life apparently caused a rapid healing of his sarcoidosis. Writes Moen, "The memory of that wound and infection were expressing through my physical body. I had carried into this lifetime the memory of that infection from a part of myself left dying long ago. I had carried that memory into my present physical body. By retrieving parts of myself, bringing them back into memory and expressing them, I had the opportunity to heal myself. This healing could be physical, mental or spiritual depending on what each part of myself that I retrieved needed. I had absolutely no doubt my sarcoidosis was already beginning to heal. I could feel the swirling movement of energy throughout my liver and the right side of my chest." Moen's recovery was not instantaneous. He began to feel increasingly better, but still had problems with his lungs. He then uncovered another past life in which he and his family were killed in a house fire. The guilt of being unable to rescue his family combined with the memory of the pain of breathing in smoke and hot air had also been carried into this lifetime. By exploring the experience and releasing the guilt, his recovery became complete. Since these events, Moen has been sent on other healing missions, including helping several people overcome deep mental depression. In each case, he projected to the patient and found him / her surrounded in a sticky black tar-like substance generated by negative emotion and thought. The only way to remove it was to strongly visualize the patient free of the sticky black stuff and see it not there. Moen died in 2017 at age 70. 18. A successful businessman and sound engineer, Robert Monroe is probably best known for his out-of-body travels. He is, without a doubt, the leading figure in the field. Monroe had no OBEs as a child. It wasn't until after he began experimenting with aesthesia and sleep learning tapes that he began having OBEs. At first he believed he was suffering an unknown illness, and he sought medical attention. Further research led him to believe that he was having mystical experiences and he pursued them avidly. Years later, he perfected the ability to leave the body at will and travel anywhere in the physical dimensions and very far into the astral dimensions. Monroe's first experience with OBE healing came when he uncovered a traumatic past life memory. He was killed in a battle, and like Bruce Moen, the residual pain from the experience had apparently been carried over into his present lifetime, causing an unexplained pain in his abdomen. After uncovering the event, Monroe was pain-free. Stuart Twemlow, MD, examined Monroe for physiological abnormalities. Twemlow recorded a galvanic skin response, GSR, which was highly unusual. Writes Twemlow, Monroe had demonstrated his ability to move needles of sensitive voltmeters by waving his hand over them. 19. As we have seen, a few of the above healings were the result of releasing the trauma from a past life. Research into past lives has shown this pattern in other cases. Healed by past life therapy. One of the surprising results to emerge from past life research is the physical healings that resulted from regressions. The use of hypnosis to recover memories of a past life is not new, nor is the concept of past lives. The evidence in support of reincarnation has been proven by the painstaking research of Ian Stevenson, who has compiled many hundreds of cases in which people have spontaneously recalled details of past lives, details which upon research proved to be accurate and unknown to the witness. The research showed that likes, dislikes, eccentricities, personality and phobias often transferred from one life to the next. In some cases, the trauma from the past life caused not only mental problems, but physical. Medical injuries and traumas in one life resulted in birthmarks, scars or illness in the next life. After recalling a past life, some patients began to report physical healings of illness. Researcher Carol Bowman has documented several cases of past life healings, including one involving her own son, Chase. Regressed to a lifetime as a Civil War soldier, Chase recalled being shot in the wrist. In his current lifetime, Chase suffered from eczema on his wrist. Following the regression, the eczema, which had resisted other forms of traditional modern medical treatments, cleared up completely. Another case is that of Edward, age 4, who complained of pain in his throat. The pain persisted and doctors eventually discovered a cyst that required immediate surgery. However, before surgery could be performed, 4 years. Old Edward told his astonished parents that he remembered being a French soldier named Walter. He remembered being shot in the throat. Edward told them he was only 18 years old when he died. Even more amazing, Edward told them that the shot was gone. Edward was taken to the doctor, who discovered that the tumor had completely disappeared. The doctor said that he had never heard of this type of tumor spontaneously disappearing, and that it would likely return. 10 years later, Edward remains perfectly healthy. 20. Regardless of source, energy, and energy beams are a common theme in miraculous healings. Whether coming from a UFO, an alien instrument, or from an angel or saint, or during an out-of-body experience, witnesses universally describe highly energetic states. Miraculous healings come in many forms. Among the strangest are people who have been struck by lightning and cured of a wide variety of conditions. Many people are struck by lightning and killed each year. A lucky few, however, are healed of a long list of medical conditions. Healed by lightning. Consider what happened to Mary Clamser of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. When she was 19 years old, Clamser was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. She suffered from the disease for more than 20 years, and her condition gradually became more severe. She reached a point where her legs became numb and she could no longer walk unassisted. Then, on August the 14th, 1994, Clamser was inside her home when she was struck by lightning. Although she suffered burns and other harmful side effects, she instantly began a miraculous recovery from her multiple sclerosis. Feeling came back into her legs, and less than a month later, she began walking again. "I knew something had changed," Clamser says. "I was so overwhelmed that I started to cry." As it turns out, many people have been healed as a result of lightning. The cases are surprisingly numerous and have been well documented throughout history. Peros T. Pappas Phase D. Professor of Physics and Mathematics at the Technological Educational Institute, Athens, Greece, is one of the world's leading researchers into healings by lightning, and has compiled an impressive chronology of cases. In 1776, Mrs. Y of Dublin, Ireland was facing possible surgery for a large tumor in her left breast. Y returned to her home. Lightning struck her home and went through Y's body, knocking her unconscious. 2 days later, an examination revealed a softening and shrinking of her tumor. In a few weeks, it was gone. Y's physician, Drive Georgius Hicks, was impressed and reportedly healed 2 other women of tumors using electric shocks. In 1806, Samuel Leffers suffered a stroke, resulting in numbness, partial paralysis, vision loss and difficulty in speaking. A few months later, he was struck by lightning, knocking him out. When he woke up, he no longer needed glasses, and his skin tone improved. In 1822, Martin Rockwell was 10 feet away from a lightning strike and felt a brief paralysis, and a numbness lasting for almost an hour. His chest also felt burned. At the time, he suffered from asthma. Following the lightning strike, his asthma cleared up and never returned. In 1846, an anonymous black woman, age 70, was struck by lightning. Although she had gone through menopause 20 years earlier, she began to menstruate again, a condition which remained for the next 3 years. The Lancet Journal reported on a case involving Reube, a farmer in Yorkshire, England around 1850. The farmer was suffering from cancer of the chin and lower lip. While ploughing a field, he and his 2 horses were struck by lightning. His 2 horses were killed, but Reube not only survived, his cancer went into sudden remission. The senior surgeon at the Lloyd Cottage Hospital wrote to the Lancet Journal, "What seems to be the most astonishing feature in the case is the healing process which was set up in the lip and chin soon after the accident. The cancer gradually lessened, and in a few weeks every trace of the diseased structure disappeared, and for 10 years he enjoyed complete freedom from his former suffering and signs of the disease." As with the UFO healings, the lightning strike healings also extend to animals. In 1896, Mr. Griff, a hog farmer in Como, Idaho, was transporting a load of pig carcasses, victims of cholera, when his wagon was struck by lightning. This caused one of the carcasses to become reanimated. The pig ran from the wagon. The farmer chased it down and captured it. The pig showed no signs of cholera and appeared to be healthy. In 1899, Illy Forbes, who had lost the use of his left arm due to rheumatism, was struck by lightning, causing his left arm to straighten. He felt a surge of strength in the arm and discovered he was now able to use it normally. In 1901, a farmer from Tupei, China, was dealing with a litter of 11 pigs, each of whom suffered from paralysis in their hind legs. Then their sty was struck by lightning, knocking all the piglets unconscious. Upon awakening, their hind legs moved normally. In 1908, James Gorsuch of New York was struck by lightning. At the time, he was partially blind and deaf due to childhood scarlet fever. During an electrical storm, he felt electrical sensations which restored first his hearing, and over the next few days, his vision. In 1909, Mr. Beasley of Melbourne, Australia, was struck by lightning. At the time, he suffered from rheumatic gout, and could walk only with difficulty and a cane. Following the lightning strike, his health returned to normal, amazing the many people who knew him. In 1911, Mrs. Decker, who was 65 years old and deaf since childhood, was struck by lightning while in her home in Connecticut. The strike left her sore and bedridden for several days. Incredibly, it also restored her ability to hear. Her hearing is now so good that she is able to carry on a conversation in an ordinary tone of voice, wrote the New York Times. Also in 1911, in Fargo, North Dakota, Drive. Ch. Geary was struck by lightning in his home. At the time he suffered from paralysis. Immediately following the strike, the movement of his limbs was restored and he quickly improved to normal health. In 1912, Polly Harper of Harpersville, New York was sitting in a chair in her backyard when a bolt of lightning struck nearby, knocking her unconscious. At the time, she was chair-bound with chronic rheumatism. When she woke up a few hours later, her rheumatism was gone. In 1915, Mrs. Charles A. Burdick of Berlin, Connecticut was struck by lightning in her home. Although it knocked her down, when she recovered, her rheumatism disappeared. In 1916, H.F. Riley of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania was struck by lightning, which ejected him from his chair. Upon awakening, he realized he felt no more pain. At the time, he had suffered from rheumatism for 5 years. Following the lightning strike, his condition disappeared. In 1925, Mrs. John Devey of Beverly, Pennsylvania had lost the use of her arm. As she sat on her veranda, she was struck by lightning, immediately restoring the use of her arm. Also in 1925, Noah W. Mears, age 67, suffered from paralysis of his left arm. While camping in Bakersfield, California, he was struck by lightning, causing him to regain the use of his left arm. In June of 1932, Thomas Young, a farmer from Dukedom, Tennessee, was near death from mouth cancer which had spread through his body. While reclining in a hammock, one of the trees it was tied to was struck by lightning. Young felt the bolt pass through him, tearing off his shoes. In the days that followed, his cancer shrank and disappeared. In 1934, 4-year-old Muriel Fearley, who was blind from birth, was sitting on the couch of her London home when lightning struck nearby, causing her to lose consciousness. Upon awaking the next morning, Fearley was able to see for the first time. Only a few weeks earlier, doctors had pronounced her condition incurable. In March of 1936, Adeline Slover, who had suffered from arthritis for 15 years, was struck by lightning, causing